It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We still got a little bit of summer left. Still got a little bit left. What's the last day of summer? I think it comes up at some point in the month of September, doesn't it? I think so. I can't remember. It's but Kid Rock, of course. Do you know what it is, Eric?
Well, it's always like the 21st.
Is it September 21st?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all summer long is still very appropriate. We still got a little ways to go.
Three good weeks of summer.
Three
left.
Good weeks of summer. I know on the steakhouse, I think Drew Butler and everybody, they were talking about how we already went through fake fall and how that happened middle of August.
Yeah, we had mornings that were in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was necessarily fake fall yet. Fake fall hits at some point in September normally. So it's going to be coming up here soon. We're going to get something where it cools off very randomly, and then all of a sudden it comes back, and it's hot. He's hot. And it's been very hot here recently. And what's not been hot, the Florida State Seminoles. It looks like they're about to score. 14-3 is your score. Boston College on top right now. Just absolutely dominating right now. But if Florida State can get a touchdown here before they get to halftime, changes your perception of what really transpired in this first half. But DJ Uiagalelei has been dreadful. He's now 8 of 20 for 108 yards. He just threw a duck to the back left pylon. It's been ugly for Florida State, Mike Norvell's squad. You got 29 seconds here left in the second quarter. Just not very pretty. Castellanos and Robichaud, they've been able to run the ball pretty. Oh, no, he overthrows them. All right. Well, it's going to be fourth down. We'll see if Mike Norvell feels confident enough in his guys that he wants to go for it. But, Eric, we're going to do a little bit of a change up here. More of a curveball. But we'll do a little bit of NFL talk, and then I'm going to transition. I still have a couple of questions here for the reactometer, the overreactometer. We did that earlier in the show, and I want to pull the machine back out. It's still sitting in the corner. It's sitting there telling me, like, use me. There are some other questions that I had that I want to get to. So we'll bring him in when we finish up this segment. But I do want to finish up with the other week one action, and I want to bring you in here for this as well. So the Cardinals at the Bills. Bills are 6-point favorites in that one. I don't think it's too much of a question. Don't overthink it. Just go Bills minus 6. The home side there. Bengals and Patriots. Bengals are 8.5-point favorites in this one. Don't overthink it. Just take the Bengals. What do you think?
All right, so the first one was Arizona at Buffalo.
Yes, minus 6.
Arizona team with Kyler Murray coming back off injury. They do have a great new weapon in Marvin Harrison II. But it's in Buffalo, and Buffalo usually serves, you know, field at home. Chris Thomas and I earlier talked about Buffalo. They've lost a lot of key players. They're really going to miss Stephon Diggs, and they lost two of their best defensive players in Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White. Mm-hmm. But yes, at home, I do think they'll be able to hold off the Arizona Cardinals, who still have a long ways to go before they become any type of a contender.
Yeah, Khalil Shakir is going to be somebody who you're looking at to potentially take a big step forward this year for the Bills. James Cook is a guy, and you still got Josh Allen. So Josh Allen being the guy, I think
Josh Allen magic if they need it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
What was that second one?
The second one, Bengals minus 8.5 against the Patriots in Cincinnati.
Well, Jacoby Brissett, congratulations. I think he was named the starting quarterback.
He was for the worst roster in the NFL.
Yeah, but no, you know what? I'm so happy. I hate Patriots fans, Garrett.
I hate them.
Say it with me. I hate them. And I'm so glad that they're going to go through this suffering. I'm so glad because for all those years, all those Patriot fans that talked all that smack because they were winning, thank you. Eat it up. Eat it good because you're going to have years of misery.
I love it. Makes me very happy. Drake May up there, he's not going to get the start here for a little bit. But Texans at the Colts, plus 2.5. The first home team that's an underdog, actually. Texans on the road here. AFC South matchup to start the season. CJ Stroud and company heading up there. Give me the Texans in that one to cover that spread. 2.5. Anthony Richardson, though, he's going to be making his return. I wonder how healthy he is. They say he is.
Well, he missed almost the whole year, so he should have plenty of time to get back to 100%. But, yes, the Houston Texans are the trendy pick to be a sexy team in the NFL, especially in the AFC South, which is a division, in my opinion, that's totally up for grabs. And I'm thinking C.J. Stroud has a great second year. No sophomore slump for him.
Yeah, so a sneaky matchup there between Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud. Over there, plus 2.5 Colts. Give me the Texans on that one. So Chargers in the Jim Harbaugh era getting started against the Raiders in an AFC West matchup. 3.5 point favorites there. Gardner Minshew is the starter for the Raiders. I just don't buy either of these teams year one. But as far as the coaching edge, I like Jim Harbaugh. I like what they have at the quarterback position. I think they're going to be able to run the ball well enough. Wide receiver position all of a sudden became a massive weakness. Went from one of the best cores in the NFL to suddenly one of the worst.
Yeah, but they paid those guys so much money that eventually, you know, something was going to happen like that. But I tell you, the biggest factor of this game is the Raiders are going to miss Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Josh Jacobs was one of the best, is one of the best running backs in the NFL. He now wears a Green Bay Packers uniform, if I'm not mistaken. But Raiders are going to have a bad year. The Raiders can start their trend towards picking either Shador Sanders or Carson Beck.
Yeah, we'll see. Cowboys at the Browns, minus 2.5 there for the Browns. That should be an interesting one. Deshaun Watson looking to make a big step forward here after just absolutely sucking rear for the last couple of years. He came back and dealt with some injuries last year, and he's just not that guy. But the Cowboys, I don't know who the Cowboys are.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh,
they're going to be just fine. Everybody's got their money. Everybody, well, almost everybody.
Almost
everybody's got their money. They're going to be just fine. And you're right. Deshaun, Mr. Gainesville, I've known you since you were playing middle school ball. Unfortunately, just not going to be there for you this year.
I don't know. Cowboys aren't going to be able to
run the
ball.
How about them Cowboys?
That defense, the defense is going to miss Dan Quinn. I don't know. I wouldn't touch that game at all. And I wouldn't even touch it. Minus 2.5, the Browns over the Cowboys. Another game I'm probably not going to touch, Vikings at the Giants, plus 1 for the wayside. Actually, the favorites in that one. No J.J. McCarthy. Sam Darnold's making his return to New York, just not for the Jets. He'll be over there facing the Giants. But look, this is another one. I just don't know. I don't really have a feel on this one at all.
Yeah, I mean, two teams that are hitting in just not good directions, neither one of them. Daniel Jones is probably on his last leg with the Giants. He'll be done. They'll be looking for a quarterback next year. The Vikings start. They found their quarterback, the unlucky health of J.J. McCarthy. Tough, tough situation for both of those franchises.
Yeah. Jaguars at the Dolphins, two teams from the state of Florida who I think can take big old step forwards. In 2024, Dolphins are 3-point favorites in this one. I think Trevor Lawrence could be one of those guys who takes one of the biggest steps forward in 2024.
He could be, but it doesn't mean a victory over the Dolphins in week one.
No, I think the Dolphins, they still have that dynamic offense. They still got that guy playing running calls, right?
And all those guys got paid. How do these teams get up? Remember when the Falcons paid Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and they paid Devontae Freeman? It's like, you can't keep paying all these offensive guys. How did the Dolphins pull that off?
I don't know.
How?
Salary cap is not real.
Tyreek Hill, big contract.
Mm-hmm.
Tua Tagovailoa, big contract. Jalen Waddle, big contract. Just pay everybody. Just pay them all.
Bills for Tua Tagovailoa is, that's a lot of money.
A lot of money in a state with no state income taxes.
Man, good for them. Dolphins minus 3. I'll probably take the Dolphins, too, in that one. And then we got an NFC South matchup. Saints 4-point favorites over the Panthers at home. Oh, man, the Saints are going in the wrong direction, but not quite so far south that they would lose to the Panthers. I think 4-point favorites, they should cover that one. I think that should be the line. Though they got some old guys on that team, and I think they're going to wear down the stretch. But early in the season, give me the Saints to start.
Is there any magic formula where they both could lose?
A tie.
Can we have a game? Well, I mean, that's not a bowl. I want them both to be 0-1.
Tie is about as close as we can get to a loss, but I think that's the best-case scenario for this one. But I'd say the Saints cover
that
one.
The good part about it is someone has to lose. Great.
Bryce Young's got a lot of question marks He's got a lot of question marks on that one. Commanders at the Buccaneers, -3.5-point favorites for the Buccaneers. Jaden Daniels is going to be making his debut. He'll be down there in Tampa Bay. I think that should be... Nah, Buccaneers should win that one. Baker Mayfield's going to be coming back for the Bucs. Makes for not super compelling necessarily, but, you know, Buccaneers, Mike Evans, company. Yeah, they should be fine. Buccaneers to roll. All right, let's move on. I want to talk a little bit of college football before we get to the break here. I still have a couple more overreactometers. So I want to pull this guy back out right over the corner. Hold on. Let me grab it. All right, it's right here. All right. Eric, you ready to go? I'm going to stick this one in here. So we're going to talk a little bit of college football here before we wrap the segment. LSU, they won't ever win the big game with Brian Kelly. Let me put this in here. All right, what we get? Gives it a 7. Yeah, that's a bit of an overreaction. Yeah, because they have won the big game already. We talked about him pounding the table earlier on in the show. Talked about how he wasn't going to be the guy who was going to go get it done. But you know what? I still think he's going to come out. He's still a very good coach. He's still one of the top 10 coaches in college football. He's still a guy who's going to go out and get the job done. The season is not done just because they lost to USC. They haven't gotten the job done on several different occasions as the season has gone, as the seasons have gone by. Nicholls State next week. Then it's South Carolina, 2 winnable games. You should win both of those. Then it's UCLA. That's a winnable game. South Alabama, that's a winnable game. But the going gets interesting. October 12th, you get a bye week, and then it's Ole Miss. You win that game, and it ramps up. Things get a lot more interesting. I think Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers are going to be just fine. Well, let's get to the other one. I got another one here. Oregon, they barely eke out a win over Idaho. Let me get this in here. Are they overrated? A 9. Oh, wow. That's one of the biggest overreactions we've seen so far. Yeah, I agree. Relax. Jason X, Idaho Vandals. They are the real deal, albeit at the FCS level. But FCS teams play football too, guys. They're tough. They're fiery. They're athletic. They're good. Plus, there's some kinks that the Oregon Ducks had to work out. I understand expectations are always for teams like Oregon to get out and drop a 50-burger on teams week one and then just roll into next week. Not really. I mean, the team looked a little sloppy at times. I think they're going to figure themselves out. I think they were maybe sleeping on it a little bit. And having an Idaho's team to start the schedule, don't underestimate how important it is to get a team, like a marquee matchup to kick off the season. For coaches, that's a goldmine because you get your guys excited and ready to go. I'm not doing too many overreactions to what we saw week one. I understand it if you're a Georgia and a Clemson because those are two teams of supposed equal caliber when they're going out and playing each other. These other teams, like you look at Auburn, what they just did to Alabama A&M. You look at what Arkansas did to Arkansas Pine Bluff. Those are two teams who just absolutely obliterated their opposition and dropped 50, 60, 70 points after struggling the year before on offense. I still have as many questions about their offenses as we did at the beginning of the season. Same thing for Oregon. Can't draw too many conclusions. One more here for you. Ole Miss and Penn State are actually conference contenders? All right, let me stick this in here. A 7. The overreactometer gives it a 7. It's a bit of an overreaction, and I agree. Penn State beats West Virginia 34-12. Ole Miss beats Furman 76-0. Big freaking whoop. That's not what those teams are going to be judged by this season. Not at all. Lane Kiffin, James Franklin, those are two head coaches who are judged based off of what they do against the biggest competition. Just like we just talked about with Brian Kelly. You're not judged by what you do in these types of situations. James Franklin and Penn State, on a routine basis, took teams to the woodshed last year that were not named Ohio State or Michigan. I don't give a damn what they do in these types of situations. Drew Aller looked good. Great. Pat him on the back. The rushing attack looked good. Katron Allen, Nick Singleton, pat him on the back. Yeah. Do it in the big games that matter, and I will believe you are conference contenders. Until proven otherwise, I'm not buying the hype. Lane Kiffin, I like what they can do. Some people said that they're a team that can go play in a conference championship. I don't think they can win a conference championship because I've never seen Lane Kiffin succeed at a high level, period. James Franklin, never seen him compete and win at a consistent high level. He had a title in 2017. Since then, Jack. That was one of the worst Ohio State teams we had seen in a long time. Michigan was all the way down in the dumps. What have they done since? Jack. Ole Miss is sexy. They're fun. Nothing more than that. Until they go out and actually win a title and compete for it and beat the big dogs on their schedule, Ole Miss has a chance. They got Georgia. They got LSU. Get the job done there, and I'll buy in. Same goes for Penn State. All right, we got a little bit of a mixed action there, bit of a mixed bag, but, you know, we got to talk week one NFL. Got to react to some week one college football. What's better than that? That's what Labor Day weekend is all about, and that's what Off the Bench is all about, too. My name is Garrett Chapman. Eric Slaughter on the board. When we get back, Connor O'Gara is going to join us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Stick around for that. We had a great conversation with him, and I'm going to let you hear it right here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman, and let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Connor O'Gara joining me here from Saturday down south. Week one action, big week of football here in the SEC. So let's bring him in, talk a little bit about this. Connor, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Once week one kind of comes to a close, it's always a bit surreal. I'm like, wow, that was a full weekend of football, like wall-to-wall action. Man, we're recording this before Monday, we see what Florida State does for its encore. But yeah, that week one, man, it's a blur. You feel like the stuff that happened on Thursday was like, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah, all of the talking season from June, July, and August, it all gets put to the test here. So that actually kind of lends itself to the first question that I have for you, Connor. It's the winners and losers from week one. It's hard to really go too deep into it. I know everybody really wants to. I just last segment, I was going to come in and do the biggest overreactions from the week. I have tons of overreactions, but I want to ask you what your overreactions are. Biggest winners and losers, what you got?
Yeah, biggest winner, Miami. I mean, Miami, what it did in the swamp was such a loud statement. And I was not on the Miami train this offseason at all. I'm like, what are we doing? We've been doing this for the last 20 years. I understand that we all love Cam Ward. We love the fact that Mario Cristobal took a more aggressive approach in the portal, getting a guy like Damian Martinez coming on board, Tyler Barron, you add him to that defensive line, which you already felt pretty good about. And you kind of wonder, what is it all going to mean, especially in an opener, a hostile atmosphere? And my God, they took over that place. The Swamp, even when Florida is not good, is still a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. And for them to come in and set the tone in such emphatic fashion to me stood out. It wasn't fluky. it was dominance. And even when it was a one-score game kind of early in the second quarter, I'm texting with my co-host Will Ogburn, Miami's a better football team. And if Miami doesn't win this game, this is going to be a huge indictment of Mario Cristobal. And instead, it turns into just a bloodbath. And I thought Miami was absolutely the biggest winner. Maybe USC you could throw in there as well. I think that's the probably the biggest narrative-changing win that Lincoln Riley has had since that Florida Bowl game that they won. I think it was it ended up being, yeah, the Cotton Bowl. They moved bowl games all around, whatever that was. But for the first time in a long time, Lincoln Riley gave us something that made us feel different about him by beating that LSU team, an LSU team that obviously struggled in openers. But yeah, to me, those were the two biggest winners. And then those two teams, LSU and Florida, are the biggest losers, because on that stage, I thought for different reasons, they kind of got embarrassed. And they are the subject of a lot of criticism this week. The SEC as a whole, I think, took it on the chin a little bit, with the exception of Georgia and Vandy. But yeah, to me, those are the four teams that kind of stand out just in terms of us thinking differently about them, or at least having stronger opinions about what they just did.
Yeah, so keeping it kind of in the state of Florida, just with Billy Napier and company, I mean, they kind of got out physical in this. Not kind of. They got out physical in this game. They got beat up. Up and down the field. And that was something that when Billy Napier was hired, I always expected him to come in and kind of bring that physicality that I felt like Dan Mullen was missing at times. That hasn't been the case, really. And then on top of that, you have the Scott Strickland, the Florida athletic director, that's coming in and saying that there's no need to make a change. There's nothing else that's going to be coming down the track.
Sure.
It would be an expensive firing. I think he's owed $26 million up front or something like that, right up front. I'm not sure what the exact number is. I think it's somewhere in that ballpark. But it's going to be expensive. But is it even more expensive in the fact that you're going to cost yourself fans and support, and this program is going to start faltering down the stretch? I mean, what is the situation down there in Florida?
It's bad. It's terrible. This coaching staff couldn't have asked for a worse start. You have 8 months of telling people, don't worry about the schedule. We're going to take it 1 week at a time, 1 week at a time. And then you show up and you have that against your in-state rival. And the stadium is clearing out. And for that to happen in a season opener is just such a gut punch, because there are people that that would say, like, oh, you're sleeping on Florida. Everybody's sleeping on Florida. It's like, well, no, I'm not. They've had three consecutive losing seasons. This is the way that works. Mm-hmm. And you're still trying to show that you can actually build towards SEC relevance with this head coach. And to have that type of showing, yeah, I don't think it's crazy for Florida fans to want more. I don't want to hear from Scott Strickland that, oh, you know, we're not in any hurry to make a change. He's not going to be the one that's going to get to make that decision, because if Billy Napier gets fired, I understand Florida's an everything school. Scott Strickland's getting fired too if that happens. Yeah. And I know the Ben Sass stuff, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of debate about what it's going to look like at the top university. They will find a way to fire a head football coach if they have half-empty stadiums in October. I promise you that. So the number, yes, it is high. 26.7, I think, was the latest that I saw.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah, you were. You were spot on. So, like, that's the ballpark. And up until last year, we had never seen anybody pay that type of money to move on from a head coach. And then Texas A&M did what Texas A&M did by firing Jimbo Fisher. But I do think that for those who are saying, well, Florida fans, you just need to be patient. Why? What's the proof of concept for Billy Napier at this point? Because everything he said he was going to do, he has not done. And if you're not going to even have that ounce of physicality, which last year against Kentucky, when they just got punched in the mouth by that Mark Stoops coach team, all these Florida fans are like, wait a minute, Kentucky's doing what you said you were going to bring here, and they don't even have that yet. So to me, I will not hate on Florida if it cuts its losses after a 5-7 season. To me, that's not the sign of impatience. That's just the sign of incompetence.
Yeah, it was a tough showing for Florida. I mean, then you have the videos coming around and circulating on social media about the Miami players walking off the field and recruiting their recruits and everything else. It was just sort of an ugly scene for all parties involved, unless you're a Miami Hurricane. But Connor O'Gara joining me on the waitfor.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was a bit of a mixed bag, I'd say, for the SEC. You said they took it on the chin. I tend to agree. Except for that team in Athens. But before I move into the positive things that we did see from the conference, I want to finish up in the negative side of it. I don't want to necessarily say it that way, but the negatives, they lost. We talked about LSU. We talked about Florida. But Texas A&M, they took it on the chin. They lost to Notre Dame, a pretty good football team, a team with a lot of question marks. The offensive line had six combined starts, but that defense really still showed its colors. They looked pretty good. But Connor Wegman, felt like he just wasn't quite enough. Is that a sign of things to come, or what did you learn from the Aggies?
Yeah, I think it's tough because Texas A&M was a 3-point favorite in this one. I don't remember what the final line ended up being, but A&M was favored to win this game because, or at least in position two, because of the biggest mismatch, or at least the biggest perceived mismatch in this game, was that Texas A&M defensive line with Nix Gordon, with Shamar Turner, Shamar Stewart, against this Notre Dame offensive line that you talked about with 6 combined starts. It's a post-Joe Alt world that the Irish were living in. And you have a new starting quarterback in Riley Leonard who is facing the defensive-minded head coach that saw him every day for 2 years in Mike Elko. Yeah. So all those things, you kind of added up, and you're like, yeah, 107,000 fans on the road? This isn't the type of game that Notre Dame wins. And I think there were a lot of people that went into that saying, yeah, I could see A&M being able to get that home crowd-fueled win in week one. And instead, down the stretch, I thought you saw the deficiencies that A&M has right now as a program. And I love the Colin Klein hire, and I am a Connor Wigman believer through and through. He spells his first name incorrectly, in my very biased opinion. That's another subject for another time. But I do think that he's going to have better days ahead. I think Colin Klein as a whole will have better days ahead. The issue is their offensive line is still not particularly good. And the different blitz packages that you saw Al Golden and Marcus Freeman throw at A&M had them rattled all game. Connor Wigman couldn't find anything in the passing game. And those Notre Dame defensive backs were going to the football better than his receivers were. So as much as I love Wigman, it's still about the surrounding pieces not being great. And you could tell that was impacting his decision-making. And I'm not trying to let him off the hook because he wasn't good enough to be able to win that football game. But down the stretch, they had no identity. I mean, he's throwing 9-yard outs to his running back as his primary target to try and pick up big first downs. And Le'Veon Moss can't pick up the first down because he doesn't have the presence of mind to stretch the football out to the first down mark. And you're like, man, that's kind of a sign of where this program and where this offense is at. They're searching for an identity. They really could have used Evan Stewart, who transferred to Oregon. Unfortunately, he's not with that team anymore. But yeah, man, A&M had an opportunity sitting right there to get a momentum-shifting win to start off the Mike Elko era. And instead, you look up, and Notre Dame does something that very few people thought they would be capable of, which was closing down the stretch against a top 25 team on the road. And Marcus Freeman and company, they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, huge win for Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. Bad day for all the haters of Notre Dame and that football program. But look, I mean, I like Texas A&M. I think they still have everything in front of them. They can still be maybe not a contender in the SEC, but a team who can really jump into that realm of a top 25 team consistently on a week-in, week-out basis with Mike Elko this season specifically. The defense is going to be enough to carry them at times, but I need to see a little bit more from that offense. But one team that really hung its hat on some dominating defense were the Georgia Bulldogs. They came out in the second half and just absolutely obliterated Clemson. I mean, it was just a man versus boys. And in fact, the most damning thing I'd say about that game is the reaction that people had about it. They said in no uncertain terms, it was like, yeah, well, Georgia does that to a lot of teams. Well, Clemson is not a lot of teams, or at least they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be one of those championship contenders. Do you think that final score and the way everything ended up happening, does that say more about Georgia or does it say more about Clemson?
Clemson. Says way more about Clemson. And I thought Danny Cannell's take sucked. And I like DK.
You saw really that did. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I love DK. DK's a good dude. He's actually a lot better away from social media than he is on social media. But I thought that point about, well, you know, Ole Miss gets beat up by Georgia. You know, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is not sitting there going, I wonder if we should go after this guy in the portal. Lane Kiffin exhausts all resources. Dabo Swinney gets paid 8 figures, and he's not exhausting all resources. He's telling us he doesn't feel like he has to exhaust all resources, and he's wrong. And if you're telling me, all right, well, you know what? One transfer wasn't going to make the difference in that football game, and you know, even if they had gone after certain guys in the transfer portal, maybe it's not going to make the difference. But who's scoring those touchdowns for Georgia in the third quarter of that game? Transfers. Colby Young, London Humphreys. Both those guys coming over this year in what is the first year without Brock Bowers, without Ladd McConkey. They lose Ra-Ra Thomas to the domestic violence arrest that he had in the offseason. They needed to beef up those receivers via the transfer portal. Kirby is using the portal the way that Dabo should be. You have areas of need in your position group, and you go out and you say, you know what, let's plug and play that guy. I don't care if we get him for 1 or 2 years. We have an issue there. We need to be able to bring him in, and we need to be able to get somebody on board that's going to help us now. And instead, Dabo is under the belief that his development is so unbelievably good. You know what's not good? The fact that Clemson in the last 3 years has had two offensive players drafted. An offensive lineman who went in the fifth round and Will Shipley went in the fourth round. Clemson hasn't had an offensive player drafted in the first 2 days of the NFL draft since 2021, the Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence draft. That's terrible. That's a joke. That to me is a sign of a program that has fallen off. This is not a tier one program anymore. They had a really nice first half because they came out defensively, and I thought their defensive line really got after it, and they deserve a ton of credit for it. But they've fallen off, and this is not a program that's going to compete for an ACC championship. I think people were saying that. We're sipping the Kool-Aid for whatever reason. And to me, this is a sign that Dabo, in this adapt or die world, he's doing the latter, and it's not really debatable.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's fallen off in a big way. And it's, I think it just comes down to missing on the quarterback position, missing at the wide receiver position. And I think you hinted at it, or you said it pretty much. And it's the fact that he believes that the guys – on his roster are better than what you can find in the transfer portal.
And they're not. And
they're just not. And the proof is in the pudding. It's the fact that the results have shown and dictated over the last couple of years that Clemson is just not the program that they were. I had it in my overreaction that Clemson is dead and gone as a championship contender. And it's just the fact of the matter at this point in Dabo Swinney's career. It doesn't overshadow the things that he accomplished back in the 2010s, where he won multiple national championships and was the second best program without question over about a 10-year period. Those days are gone. It doesn't diminish what he did then, but it certainly does not mean that he is still the guy that he was then, especially that program. But one other thing I want to mention here, finishing up with Connor O'Gara here on the waitforit.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The SEC had several explosive outputs in week one. Of course, you mentioned Ole Miss. They dropped 76 points in their season opener. Arkansas against Arkansas Pine Bluff. They go crazy. You have Auburn shortening their quarters in the second half to 10 minutes because they're beating Alabama A&M. Is that just a product of the teams they're playing, which I think that has a lot to do with it? Or do you think that some of those offenses, specifically Auburn, who had some problems last year, have they sort of figured their way through those issues? And are they ready to really compete and try to take that next step in the SEC this season?
Yeah, I don't think all of those offenses are necessarily going to be world beaters. I think Arkansas is going to have a lot of positive moments. One of my biggest upsets that I had in the preseason was I have Arkansas beating Tennessee in a few weeks when they come to Fayetteville. And I think that Taylen Green kind of showed you why he's going to be week to week a really difficult guy to prepare for. It doesn't mean that Arkansas is all of a sudden going to be 8-4 or anything like that. But I just think that combination with he and Bobby Petrino is going to be really effective. Sam Pittman having a more involved role in the offensive line. I do think that's going to yield some positive results, and they're going to be a difficult team to have to play 60 minutes with. But I think the confirmation bias was certainly there. And, you know, you could look across a team like Auburn and see what they endured last year, which was painful. I mean, at one point I remember writing like a 2,500 word column about the 10 things I'd rather do than watch Auburn throw the football. And it was like, go get my wisdom teeth out, which I still haven't done yet. And like all these other, clean the showers, get a deep clean going on. It was terrible. I mean, it was an absolute joke watching what they attempted to do throwing the football, like wholesale, not just any one specific, but like every element, the scheme, the quarterback, the offensive line, the receivers, like all of it was terrible. And this year with Hugh Freeze taking control of those play calling duties, I do think Peyton Thorne ends up being the SEC's most improved player. And I say that as someone that was really critical of him last year, but I do think the post-spring quarterback transfers are set up to fail year one. In year two, it's a much different story. He obviously has a lot more of those weapons available to him in the passing game, and that's going to be a big, big help with Keandre Lambert-Smith and Cam Coleman. Everybody's so excited about this freshman receiver class. But I think you saw shades of that, and I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case week in, week out. But this week's going to be a really good indicator of how much that year-to-year improvement's there, because they face a Cal team that, quite frankly, last year, like, they basically made them run the football, and Eugene Asante was ridiculous in that game in Berkeley, and they had to win a game that, look, I don't really think they had any business winning, but Jaden Ott gets hurt in the second half of that one, and they're able to pull it out on the road. But I think it's going to be a different story, different offensive game plan, and we're going to see a lot more from Peyton Thorne this season. And I think this game is going to be kind of the first indication of that.
Yeah. Peyton Thorne, I had him as one of the biggest risers in the SEC this season too, this offseason, just with the presence of legitimate bona fide wide receivers on that roster now. And I think they're young and they have a long way to go, But that's why you get a Lambert Smith, a guy like that in there who can really bridge that gap. See, that the transfer portal works, Dabo. Last one here, really quickly, about 30 seconds here. I have Nico Amaleva as my biggest X factor in the SEC because of what he could potentially do in the conference. It just is a really successful quarterback and kind of keeping Tennessee ahead of the chains. What say you as far as an X factor, one player who could really overturn what your expectations are in the conference?
Nico's the truth, man.
I love
Nico. That. Nico Amaleva, say it with your chest. The full name is worth it. look, the guy is like, spend 5 minutes watching him and you'll get it. And you'll get that Tennessee fans are not crazy to be this in love with the quarterback. The things that he can do, man, it is so special. The off platform, the deep stuff, what he does hitting receivers in stride, even his mobility, some of the things that he can do in the ground game to be able to kind of keep you ahead of schedule. It's just like he does all the little things well. And then with the fact that he's got Josh Heupel and being able to have this offense that is just so prolific in the ground game too, I love all of it. And I do have concerns about Tennessee's defense in the back end, but man, if there's ever a guy that can kind of change the trajectory of what a program is capable of, Nico Amaleva, stay with your chest. He is that dude.
All right. Thank you so much to Connor O'Gara. When we get back, Eric Slaughter's going to come in here, join me in the studio. We're going to do a little producer AMA. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman here in studio. One segment more, taking you up to the top of the hour. Florida State, bad just got worse. DJ Uiagalelei throws another interception, his first turnover of the season. Man, this is bad. And they turn the ball over. They turn it over on downs. And now Boston College is back on the football. 21-6 is your score down there in Tallahassee, the number 10 team in the country. Outrushed 125-21. Danny Cannell was tweeting about this. He said basically that this team was going to figure it out. Mike Norvell gathered his boys at halftime and said, oh, this ain't going to be this. It ain't going to end like this. Looked like he was trying to get the boys back in gear, and DJ Uiagalelei just isn't the guy. And it's just been painfully obvious. This team lacks a killer at the quarterback position. They tried to go get in DJU. He's clearly not the guy. You got to pull him at this point. I just don't have any faith in this team right now with DJ under center. He's now 11 of 27, 130 yards and an interception. He's costing his team opportunities to move the ball down the field. He's costing his team a chance to win this game. And your defense can only do so much. If you're not able to sustain any drives of any kind, 12 minutes of possession so far in this game compared to 23. It's going to be 24 when it's all said and done, at least, for Boston College. Tough one for Florida State. They're taking it on the chin here. Georgia Tech, it also opens up the question. Did that win in week zero say more about the Jackets or the Florida State Seminoles? Because I don't know. Expectations for the Jackets went through the roof all of a sudden after they go on the road to Dublin, Ireland and get a positive result there. But now that the Florida State Seminoles are coming back and kind of laying an egg here, I wonder. But Brent Key, big credit to what his program is doing over on the Flats. They have an opportunity on Saturday. They head up to Syracuse. They get Kyle McCord and company. That should be a very interesting game for more reasons than one. The ACC opener for Fran Brown. I think that could be a good one. Georgia Tech legitimately has a chance to come down and be a viable team in the ACC this season. You start the year 2-0. That's a great way to do it. But enough college football. Well, unless Robichaud. Oh no! All right, so he's going to run out of bounds. So Florida State's going to hold serve, or at least force a fourth down here against Boston College. But I'm going to bring in my boy Eric Slaughter. Got a little producer AMA. Any question, any topic, just like the Midday Show likes to do. I like to pull in the producers as much as I can just because I was a producer. I am a producer, so I want to chat with him as much as I can. Give him a chance on the mic. Eric, how you doing, man? Thanks so much for everything you've been doing for me tonight.
I'm good. I'm hungry now, man. I'm hungry.
Yeah, did you have dinner?
I had lunch about 8 hours ago.
Oh, my gosh. I should have gone downstairs. We made a chance.
What was open now? Ain't nothing open. It's Labor Day.
That's so true.
Yeah. Ain't nobody down. It's ghost town downstairs.
Yeah, unless you want to go get some cookies or some pistachios or something from the break room.
Our vending machine, whatever thing. Situation we got going on
the
down
fancy
there.
Stuff down there. I don't know. Yeah, it's tough, man. I've had these kinds of days. I know what that's like. I know what that's like for sure. But kudos to you, man. Shout out to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and making the show go.
Oh, no problem, man. You're doing a great job, man. You know what? How many have these have you had now? Have you kept count?
This is number four.
Four
of off the bench. Just the solo show. I most people when they hear me, it's high school football stuff. It's steakhouse.
Will you be here all week doing that as well?
I'm here all week.
So technically, you haven't had a day off.
No, I had one on Sunday.
You got off on Sunday?
I got off on Sunday. Right, I was pretty fortunate there. I've cool. My Conti, brand manager, boss man, he's helped me out here a lot with give me a day off on Sundays, and then that's generally been very welcome after many a day working 7 days a week and kind of making ends meet and trying to jump in here and do what we can, you know, and that's just sort of this business, and you do what you got to do. But it should be a busy week. College football game time on Saturday. Lots of college football conversations, and then week one NFL action. Should be a lot of fun. But what you got for me, man? What you feeling?
Well, talk to me about this. First off, how did your alma mater do in their
first
week?
Oh, I don't
want
to talk about it.
Yeah, you do. Come on now. Talk about the green and what's your colors? Green and what?
Green?
Yeah. Well, I mean, navy blue. Blue and white.
Yeah, well, that navy blue.
Yeah.
The Georgia Southern Eagles, man. Clay Helton and company. They got Boise State down there, and look, they –
I was talking about your high school, but I guess you could talk about.
Oh
that
no,
too.
Yeah. Oh, my Lovett Lions. Yeah. Let me go check on my Lovett Lions. Hold
you
on.
Don't know? Oh, come on. You're supposed
we
to.
We beat
know.
Westminster.
You're supposed. To, that's the rivalry game.
That's
isn't
the one
it?
That matters. And then, yeah. I know we started 2-0. Let me look. Lovett Lions football. Shout out to my Lovett Lions. Yeah. Love those boys. Great school. We enjoy it. Oh damn, we're 3-0.
Really?
Let's go.
Hold on. How have they played? Well, I guess we have had 3 weeks. Man, time
Let's
flies.
Go.
Time flies. Yo, you know what?
Hey, I knew we beat Westminster week one. It's the one I did see.
Okay.
And then I saw on Instagram that we had beaten, shout out to Lovett Athletics. They gave me Crisp County, 30-14 winners in that one. And then they just beat Spencer on the road, 46-23. All right, boys.
They can put some points on the board then.
Cool.
Wow.
46?
Any good games coming up on their schedule when they play Pace? I know Pace is always a
Pace
big one,
is
right?
Next week.
That's next week.
Oh, yeah. Pace is this week. I
think we should go ahead because he said we could pick our own games now.
Come on now.
He told us to pick our own games.
Yeah.
I might need to shoot Mike Muschamp a
text message. Just tell him, shout out to these Lovett Lions, man. That, look at these guys go.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Cool.
So we know your high school alma mater had a good week.
My Eagles did not have a good week. My college, also navy blue and white.
Yeah.
They did not have quite as good of a week. Yeah, they couldn't stop a nosebleed on defense, man. Let me tell you what. They could score some points, let me tell you. But that defense.
Now, what kind of – I've never been – to the stadium there, Georgia Southern. What kind of, you know, because I guess boys is used to playing in front of 40, 50,000. What kind of attendance did they have for that?
Pretty slow stadium in America, man.
Really?
That's what they call it. Ashton Ginty goes for 267 and what, seven touchdowns, six touchdowns or something? One of the most.
Definitely made a Heisman statement.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I love Paulson. Paulson, they call it the prettiest little stadium in America. It's not a big stadium. It's really not.
No.
We had about 24,000, I think, was our official number for this game. Max capacity.
I wonder how many people made the trip from Boise, Idaho.
It was a number.
Really?
There were a lot of people up there. Yeah, you would be actually a little bit surprised. I saw a lot of orange and blue up there in the high deck. Not a lot. Like, it's not like they overtook the stadium or whatever, but it's like I'd say there were about like 3,000 people, 2,000-3,000 or
wow.
something. Just
they probably,
the
they probably all went and spent the weekend in Savannah, then drove up to the game and went back to Savannah. What do you think?
That's what I would do. Yeah, it's a good excuse to kind of get over there and check out the East Coast and go see Savannah, which I love Savannah. Mm-hmm. Like going to school at Georgia Southern, you kind of fall in love with the coastal Georgia. You know, it's hard not to, but look, I will say this. I love Statesboro. It's a second home for me.
Is it still considered what they say is a big have a good time school?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, you enjoy yourself.
It's considered one of the best party schools in the country, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can go down there, you're
gonna
enjoy
yourself.
Is that
why you chose it, Garrett? You knew what you were doing.
Remains to be seen. Yeah. Remains to be seen. No.
Seen. You've been how long you been out of there? Seven?
Shoot.
8 years? Longer?
7 years?
7 years. Getting
seven
old,
years,
brother.
Like
you're
that.
Getting
Ooh,
old.
I'm
man.
Getting
you're
there.
You're officially getting old. Whew. Get you an AARP application.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I'm turning 30 here.
Yeah.
Soon, man.
Okay.
I'm getting there. No, I think 7 years this year.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay.
Lord, I'm getting there.
So now, oh, this is technically your year two of being the official Georgia Tech 92.9 game cover guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Have we worked you up to get you to go to any good road games? Yeah, I know we couldn't send you to Ireland. Sorry.
Oh, dude, I wish. Yeah. I was talking to Chad Bishop. He does all the coverage for the AJC.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. Also Georgia Southern grad.
Okay.
They
sent him to Ireland?
He went to Ireland. He got a whole week vacation out of it. Wow. He took his whole family. So shout out to Chad. He's a good man. I love Dublin. It's one of my favorite cities on the planet that I've been to. I love Dublin. Fun wow. city. Well, really well, fun
you've
city.
Already, since you've already been there, it was no need to send you back.
No, but it's a fun city, and it's a great time, and it was a huge result for Georgia Tech. But
right.
Road games, I'll go to Athens for sure. I'll cover that game when they go play the Dogs.
Did they go to Tallahassee? Where is the Florida State game? They go to Tallahassee this year, or the Tallahassee
well, they, no,
to
they
the,
played,
the Flats?
No, they played, well, they played at, in Dublin. Oh, God. So they played them in Dublin.
Wait, I'm tired, man. I'm
it's
tired.
Been a long day.
Okay,
No, so like you look
what
at the road
What about Carolina,
schedule.
Duke, somewhere like that? Where about Miami? Did they go to Miami?
Miami comes to Atlanta, okay. So Miami's going
to
be playing here.
Trying to get you to the beach.
You're trying to hype me up, man.
Yeah,
so they play at Syracuse.
That's this week, though. You ain't
that ain't happening.
Trip, yeah.
Virginia Military Institute, that's here in Atlanta. Louisville on the road. That's within driving distance. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
Duke is at home. UNC is a good one.
Chapel Hill's a very fun town.
I like Chapel Hill. Yep. You been up to Chapel Hill?
I have been. I've been to the Dean Dome on several occasions. My dad and Dean Smith had a relationship. My dad was a basketball coach for many years, and he always did part of Dean Smith's camp.
How about that?
Yeah, so I got to go to the Dean Dome a couple times. And when we grew up in Maryland, basketball was my favorite sport, still is.
Yeah.
He would always go to his parents. Like, if there's any coach in the country you want to send your child to, it's Dean Smith.
I could not agree more. I love Dean Smith. I thought that was a great program that he had.
What would Dean Smith do? God rest his soul.
Bless his heart.
In the NIL era. Could you imagine?
That's
Michael
weird.
Jordan walking in like, yeah, where's my NIL deal? My NIL deals, Dean. What you got for me? I need more money.
Oh, man. Bring me my money.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Georgia Tech is Notre Dame next. That's a home game. Virginia
That's at
Tech.
The Benz, right?
That's the Benz. I'll be at that one.
I'll be at that one, too. Technically, yeah, I'll be there working as a, you know.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That could be a fun game, potentially.
What if both of them, both are undefeated going into that?
Oh, yeah. Dog. Mm. Well, I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse.
We can think about it as it's time for us to get out of here, though.
Yeah, Miami, NC State, those are both home games. Georgia, I'll go to that one. But you have three road games, potentially. UNC, Chapel Hill, that'd be a fun one to go to. Virginia Tech, Blacksburg, Virginia.
That's one of the prettiest campuses. Both the schools of Virginia, both Blacksburg and University of Virginia in beautiful campuses.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
My dad is a UVA grad. He went to law school up at UVA. Great school. Great school. Great folks up there. He loves it. He's a big wahoo. Wahoo-wah. Shout out, Dad. Oh, man. 4 hours later. That's a long show. But we had an absolute blast. If you missed any of it, go check it out. Odyssey app. Eric Slaughter, big thank you to you taking care of me all night long. Thank you to everybody who took a chance on me. Hope you had a good time. I'll see you again very soon. Last more to get to. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Garrett Chapman. You are coming off the bench with me. Infinity Sports Network coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.